Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Each of us has defining moments in life. Moments that change us, that mold and make us into who we are. Sometimes these things happen at times when we don't expect them. Sometimes they happen in everyday things, like a graduation, a wedding, the birth of a child, the new birth. You have experienced it. You have received Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior and Lord. It not only changes the course of your life and the direction of your life, but it changes your destination in life. Those of us who have received Jesus Christ are going to heaven. Sometimes people think that experience that they have that is spiritual, or a vision they have which is spiritual, is for personal use. It affects only you. That's simply not the case. Every divine inspiration, every divine thing that happens to us, everything that comes from God and God alone has a purpose. And that purpose is for us to share what God has revealed to us with everyone who will hear. Isaiah had many visions. He had visions prior to the ones we're about to talk about. But those experiences, not only did he share with people who would not hear, but this particular vision was a powerful vision that led Isaiah to a place he had never been before. It had led him into the very presence of God. His encounter with the Almighty is what we will look at today, because it is an encounter that is available to each and every one of us, and it is an encounter which each and every one of us will experience if we stay the course with Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let us go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, You alone are holy. We know that You are holy, that You are pure, that You are set apart. But Father, that is a mere description in words. Words that do not come close to describing who You are. Father, may we hear today Your voice speaking clearly to us in our own language, the language that You have given to each and every one of us, which is the language of love. May we all hear that word today, Father. May we turn from everything that distracts us and listen to the still, small voice that is Yours and Yours alone. May we be guided, directed, and may we make a decision for You and Your purposes for our life today. Father, I am just a man. I have the great honor of opening your text, but I am a mere man. We did not come to hear the words of a mere man today. We came to hear the living word of God today. Father, forgive us of our sins, we pray. Visit upon us in a very special way your words. Cast my words out. They are nothing. They belong in the ditch. But those words that come from you, they are words of life and death, and we hunger and thirst for those words. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to read from Isaiah, the 6th chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings, and with 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the thongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell the people. Isaiah wants to give his vision as much evidence as possible. And so he sets it in a time and place. It takes place the year of the death of King Uzziah. Isaiah had a vision in that same year. Think about it. The king is dead. Long live the true and rightful king of our hearts. Isaiah was afflicted with leprosy, so the rabbinical sayings are. He was a leper, and that came upon him as a terrible, contagious disease, a disease that rotted him from the inside out. Many of us have a kind of leprosy, a spiritual leprosy that rots us from the inside out. Only Jesus can change us into new creatures. Isaiah, it is said, therefore was dead because of his leprosy to all the authority he had held. He could not meet with foreign persons or representatives of other countries. He had to forego all of those things because of his leprosy, because of his contagion. He was not worthy. He could not hold on to the kingship. But the same rabbinical writings tell us that King Uzziah was dead in every meaning of that word. There was no life left in his body. In that year, Isaiah entered the temple, and God spoke to him, and he saw Adonai, the Lord, high and lifted up and set upon his throne. A robe filled the temple. How would you describe the moment that Jesus first came into your heart? How could you tell someone else about that experience? How would you word it? Are you clever enough to use words to describe what it means to have Jesus Christ living in you? How can you tell? How can you tell what it means to be a new creature? One that doesn't fear death. You know, when I became what God has made of me, I suddenly lost all fear of death. All fear was gone. That's how it affected me. That I knew that he who was within me would never leave me and never forsake me. I knew that. How would you put that into words? How would you describe the robes of God filling your life? How do you describe that? How do you describe it? How do you translate the love, mercy, forgiveness, grace that you have received? How do you translate that so that a non-hearing world will be able to understand it? Do you do it with gestures because they're deaf, they can't hear? How do you do it? I tell you how Jesus did it. He did it with his life. He gave his life so that we might see and hear. Give the Holy Spirit great, great credit because he gave God's prophet Isaiah a way to describe what was indescribable. A way to picture God in his glory. He gave it clear, a clear view that Isaiah could explain. In verse 2, he said, above the throne of God stood these creatures, these seraphim. He didn't know how to describe them. In the days of the Pharaoh, there were all kinds of gods that they had created by men, and they had the heads of alligators and the heads of hawks and the heads of various things, and the body of a man. That's the only way they could possibly describe what they were trying to describe. But in Judaism, you could not put a picture on God. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When you hear me, you've heard the Father. I only do the things the Father tells me to do. I only say the words the Father gives me to say. He says that these creatures had six wings. With two they covered their face because they could not look upon the face of God and live. They would be annihilated. They would be gone. They would be destroyed. And so in their humility, they hid their face. Said two covered their feet. They covered themselves in humility. In great humility, they covered themselves. Just as Adam and Eve tried to cover their sin, the seraphim tried to cover themselves. And with two wings, they could fly at God's command, and they could carry out any task he gave them, because he created them for that purpose. He says that they worshiped. They worshiped God. How does that tell us we should worship God? We should worship God in humility. And we should be ready at all times to fly to the things he tells us to. To fly to troubles we know not of. To get there for his sake. For the sake of the gospel. That's why you were made a new creature. And so these holy ministers covered themselves as they worshiped the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They covered themselves, hiding themselves in a show of reverence and humility. And with these two wings that they had left, they would fly with the command of God to any place he sent. Verse 3, Isaiah tells us that he hears a chorus singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is filled with his glory, the work of his power. The heavens are filled with his glory, the glory of the one who created them. Glory, holy, holy, holy. Holy is the house of his majesty. Holy is his earth. Holy is the work of his power. Holy forever and ever and ever and ever. The Lord of hosts is holy." In verse 4, Isaiah is humbled as he tells of the praise of the holy ministers. It shakes the very threshold. It shakes the doors, if you like, the doorpost where he is standing. It shakes everything. It shakes him. He is a man who experiences God's power. And when that power comes, it shakes us. And it shakes off everything that is wrong with us. It continues to shake us. There were religious people in this country, which came from an older country, and they were called shakers. And they would go underneath their houses. And they knew when it was time for revival as they prayed there, because a shaking would come and they would shake. That is why they were called shakers. Have you ever been shaken by God? Have you ever been picked up by the scruff of your neck and shaken like a puppy shakes? Have you ever been shaken by God? The power came upon Isaiah. And he says it comes with smoke and clouds or mist. Whatever, it obstructs his view. It obstructs, there are things hidden within that mist. There are things hidden within that fog that he cannot tell us about. Simply because he can't see it. His earthly eyes cannot see the glory of God. But he has power to confuse and changes Isaiah. For Isaiah says, "Woe is me." Ah, when you hear "woe is me," that's the whole world cratering upon him. That is the shaking power of God coming down upon a man. That is, "Woe is me. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." He's confessing his sin. He's saying, "I don't understand what I'm saying. Woe is me." Trying to describe for you what only angels can see. And even angels have the humility and grace to cover themselves. For mine eyes have seen the King on his throne, the King that is the Lord of hosts, Adonai, the Lord of hosts. He is admitting that his words are not able to describe what he has seen, what he has experienced. The man who has cancer and is declared cured, free of cancer, cannot describe the new life that is within him, the new vigor that he feels. He cannot describe the power that drove the cancer out. How would you describe, you who have been sick in your sins, you who have been dead in your sins, for all of us have been dead in our sins, how can you describe the resurrection power that came within you and gave you life, and gave you life eternal, and gave you newness of life, because you were a new creature, recreated in God's own image? How can you describe that? I mean, we can't. We try. But it's as though we're looking through a glass, but darkly, as Paul says. We can't see clearly. Being in the presence of God, trying to put words on that, I know that many of you have felt God's presence, His loving presence around you. You have felt it when He lifted you up, when He cured you of your addictions, of your sexual sins, of the sins that you have committed over and over again, of putting yourself first and not others first, of disobeying God. These are the sins that you have committed. This is what falls upon Isaiah, and he says, woe is me. It is a repentance. It is a crying out that he cannot understand. I am man of unclean lips, and I dwell within a people of unclean lips. You no doubt would say what Isaiah said. You cannot conceive, you cannot understand the treasures that God has laid before you. We can't understand that. How can we translate that? How? It's a constant in all of our attempts to express the inexpressible, to express something we don't understand ourselves. Whether God has healed you or touched you or freed you, you're still struggling, as I am, trying to tell others what has happened. You're humbled by the awesomeness of the power of God. And you who are humbled will experience forgiveness. Verse 6 and 7 says that an angel, the seraphim, came with thongs, and he took a hot coal from the altar, and he placed it upon the lips of Isaiah, and he told him, lo, I have laid this upon you to purge your sins. You can no longer say, I am a man of unclean lips. Your lips are clean. They're purged. The sin that you had on you is gone. You're no longer that which you were. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. It is a purging power of God. That holy fire purges our iniquities. It purges our sins. It is a purging force, that fire. John the Baptist said,
The one who comes after me will not baptize with water, but with fire and the Holy Spirit. When the disciples were sitting in the upper room, waiting for the risen Christ, Holy Spirit, to come, he came, but he came in a way they had never experienced before. There were flaming tongues upon their heads. Every head there had a flaming tongue. Everyone looked at that flame, that purging flame, and that purging flame descended into their bodies, down into their belly, and gave them the fire they needed to do the work of God. It is an experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit who baptizes with fire. It opens the ears of people. It opened the ears of Isaiah. Isaiah heard the Lord. He heard the Lord saying to him, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" Have you ever heard that? Have you ever had a question asked of you that you could not say no to? I have. Trust me. If I could have said no, I would have. Because if you look back at your life a moment, and all the trials and tribulations that you've been through, all the grief, all the loss, all the failure, all the treachery that a friend has done against you, all of the hopes, all of the dreams that have been shattered all over the place. And God says to you, "Would you go through all this for me?" Isaiah says, "Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Send me as broken as I am, the failure that I am, the shattered human being that I am. Send me, and what little I can do, I will do. But you within me, you and I together, we can do anything you set me to do. Any task you ask me to accomplish will be done because you have said, here am I. Send me." That is the true question that faces each of us as it faced Isaiah. What is your answer? Will you say, "Here am I, send me"? Or will you say, "That's not for me. All the rewards I might have in the sweet by and by are not worth it today. I want something today. I want stuff. I want to surround myself with comforts. I don't want to suffer any of that pain. Not today. Not for me. Not that little place to serve." You can say that. Or you can say in humility, "I am nothing. I'm the sound that goes one ear and out the other. I am nothing." Can you say that with humility? That even if you can use me in a small place, in a small thing, I am here. It took me a long time. You know, when I was called into the ministry, I walked an aisle. I said, "Here am I, send me." And in my pride, I had a vision of what that meant. And I was awakened that very night. And I was disturbed, and I checked the bedrooms of my three children. They were all fine. But I felt an evil within the house. I was scared. I had
goosebumps up and down my flesh. I didn't know what I was doing. I was walking from room to room. I walked into, we had a kitchen that had doors into the dining room that would push and you could open the doors. The bravest thing I ever did was to gird myself with the truth of God and say, greater is he who is in me than Satan who is in that room. Because I could envision him on the other side of those doors. And when I pushed those doors over, I knew I was called. I was called, but I was not yet submitted. Not yet submitted. I thought that I would be the next Billy Graham. I thought so. I had spoken to thousands and thousands of people. I thought that that's where I would be. But out of humility, God took a little place. This was that little place. If you can say it, then I will promise you this. Then the messenger of the Lord will come to you and purge you of every sin that obstructs your path. He will make straight your path. He will give you the energy to do what you didn't think you could do. You may hear, in fact, one day, those glorious words, well done, good and faithful servant. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And the Lord said, go and tell the people. That is what each of us must decide to do. We must determine if we will hear the still small voice of God calling us for his purpose.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.